Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown. At the end of the last issue, we had a Sentinel climb up a tree just so he can spy on Iceman and Beast. Sure, sounds practical. Let's go ahead and see what happens from there.
So, issue 58, we come to Mission Murder.
This, the cover, I like it. It's pretty sweet.
Dude, the Havoc out, like the, it's just like a, what'd you call it, a silhouette of him, I guess?
In a way. But yeah, no, that's with the X-Men in there. It's just
in the center of his power circle. Yeah. Yeah, it looks pretty badass.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know because the cover's not on this one.
Stop it. All right, so yeah, we start out this one. The Sentinel comes bursting through the window.
And uses his Spider-Man tentacle to thwip. Dude, it's Spider-Man sound.
That's a good call. But he captures Beast. Iceman tries to ice up. Well, I mean, not tries.
Well,
he
starts
ices
to,
up.
Yeah.
And we get a cool little splash page of, as these guys are fighting the Sentinel, we get an explanation that these Sentinels
Trask
were...
Trask is explaining.
He points out that these Sentinels were made specifically with mutants' powers in mind.
To counteract the mutant powers. And then, like, right here, he literally says, to fight ice cold with scalding steam,
mm-hmm.
and to fight fire with water, and speed with endurance.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's, I mean...
It's basically...
Normal. Yeah. It's what they... It's definitely like they did in the movie.
Yeah.
But
except
yeah,
these ones aren't, like, completely morphing their entire...
body to match.
Yeah.
Which is... I mean, movie did pretty awesome job.
It was
that.
Awesome, yeah. But it was also a little too over the top.
A little bit.
Personally for me. Like, if they would have done these kind of Sentinels just having the like this one did, where the powers, you know, convert through them,
mm-hmm.
you know, that would have been a lot cooler, in my own opinion, for the movies.
But we're also old school like that.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But not so old school that we think this stuff is legit.
Oh. Well, yeah. So Bobby's way of trying to confuse the Sentinel is he does
ice images, which is basically cloning himself in ice.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like the mirror image thing that mages do.
Yep. A lot of D&D references today.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. It's, like
it's almost
we just
like
had...
we played.
Yeah.
Weird.
It's weird. But that gives Bobby enough time to get away to get to, what is it?
It's some case that Scott has that's got a TV sender.
Yes, so he can get to
Beast.
To Hank, to Beast. And so that Bobby will sacrifice himself so Beast can get away.
Which, I mean, if you think about it, okay, all he would have had to have done at that point in time right then and there would have just been flick that thing on and be like, hey guys, we need help.
Yeah. But this, I think this kind of goes to prove that, not saying that Bobby was an idiot, but it goes to show that Beast is a smart one. He knows how to handle this stuff.
And Bobby doesn't always think things through because he's an impulsive little kid.
Is that?
I mean, he is supposed to be, you know, the youngest X-Men at this point in time, so like...
Yeah, that's true. Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. But he is able to freeze the cable holding Beast enough to where Beast can break out of it. And he goes jumping out the window that the Sentinel came through to get away from the fight. And he's kind of mad at himself for doing that, for that Bobby sacrificed himself. But at the same time,
it's noble
sacrifice.
I just like to point out right here, he's like, can't delay a second. I can't let anybody see me in this he's getting ready to say costume. He's like, wait, no sounds. The fighting have stopped. And then he sees the Sentinel fly away with him and then just leaves his costume on as he walks away.
Plus, what really gets me is that Sentinel was sent there to get both of them and only comes back with one. I thought they were programmed to basically not stop until their prime directive was taken care of.
Yeah.
Well, so he should have kept going to get Beast.
But it also said that Trask can control them personally.
Mm, that's true.
And if he caught the one and knew the other one was getting away, he'd rather take that one than risk losing them both.
Yeah, that's fair. So Beast goes wandering off. He
walks away with his head down.
Yeah. Well, a little bit later, he after he gets changed, he is able to contact Scott. You know, they're still over in Egypt. I like this because Angel, yeah, Angel was searching for Cyclops' brother, while Jean and Scott apparently changed back into their civic clothes.
Yeah,
Jean's just sitting there on the beach,
on a sand dune,
like it's no big deal, and Scott is just playing around with electronics. And Angel's like, what's going on? But they see that Beast had contacted them and told them what had happened.
So Angel's first thing is, I'm going to fly across the Atlantic fucking ocean.
Because it's a good idea.
Because I'm the Avenging Angel, right? Is that what he calls himself?
No.
Yeah.
Does he?
Yep. Bloop. Right there. Because they're like, just go on the jet with us. You know, we'll all take the jet over. It'll be safer that way.
No, I gotta push myself.
And he's like, no, I have to do it. Or, you know, I have to do it. He's like, I can't just hop on a jet and go home. Sorry, guys. That's not my style. That's not why I used to be called the Avenging Angel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Warren's stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
He's an idiot.
But he's always been stupid.
Has he?
As far as I can remember. Because, okay. Even in the X-Men cartoon when, you know, we were kids, like...
Yeah, I don't remember much in that, though.
He was only in it right before the apocalypse thing started.
Oh, so he could change his wings from the feather to the metal. Yeah, I do remember that.
Still looks like a badass.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. So we get Judge Chalmers talking to
Maybe
Larry.
His real name is Judge Chalmers, and they...
Let's just call him Judge.
Let's just call him Judge.
All right, so we get Judge. Sorry. So we get Judge talking to Larry Trask. And he feels he's starting to have second thoughts, and Trask is just like, no, everything's fine. Like we have this under control.
He says that that we're going to render him harmless, and then they can see for themselves the true depth of mutant depravity.
Yeah. Which he, and I like that. As soon as, you know, the phone call ends, he's been holding Bobby under the steam. In like a steam tube, so that his powers become nullified. As soon as they take it off, Bobby goes to attack Larry Trask, and Trask is just like, I knew you'd do that. I was recording it the whole time. This will prove that mutants are bad. Really, dude?
Yeah.
The fuck?
Well, especially since, you know, he had him literally inside of a tube. If somebody saw him inside of the tube, you know, getting blasted with steam, and then came out of it, it's like...
Of course he's gonna attack!
Yeah.
Like, you literally, you came and kidnapped him.
You attacked him first.
But no, mutants are bad.
Yeah.
After Bobby gets...
His ass handed to him?
Oh. Well, that. But, yeah, sure.
He gets thrown in the cell. He gets, you know, Trask is there telling him, like, you know, you muties, you know, blah, blah, this, blah, blah, just all the, you know, villain talk.
Yeah.
And he decides he's just going to throw him in a cell.
And in the cell with him, though, is Alex in his new Havoc garb.
Suit, which is where he also gets his...
Yeah, apparently Trask named him Havoc.
Yeah.
Don't know why.
Because he's like, well, and then he said there, he's like, hey, Bobby, he's like, when I let Trask put me in this monkey suit, he told me he'd let the rest of you alone. And Bobby's like, who the hell are you? Well, he doesn't say and it's like,
he says, blazes. Who in the blazes are you?
And he's like, Alex, because you can tell that just by looking at somebody's mouth.
Eyes.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's fair enough.
That's what I would assume, anyway. Plus the fact that he knew Bobby. I think he was able to put two and two together.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But then he sees Lorna on the table, still knocked out. And tries to wake her up.
Well, dude, this is what's funny, though, is that throughout all this, you gotta appreciate Alex's mental stability here, because he's like, and while we're on the subject of names, who's the green-haired goddess racked out behind me?
Yeah.
Yeah. He totally did a Rocco on it. Nobody will understand
Don't they...
I'll tip her!
Love it. But don't they get together later on? I think so, Lorna? Okay. I thought they did. I couldn't remember. Bobby is able to wake her up, and him and Havoc are having a conversation.
Where Havoc explains that he made a deal with Trask so he could get the suit on, because the suit's supposed to help him control his powers. Mm-hmm. And then Bobby's like, you made a deal with him? And he's like, how could you do that? You're a coward.
And then, a deal with that lying mutant baiter. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Lorna's trying to defend him. Like, he was doing it for, you know, her sake and for his friends, like, trying to save everybody. But while this is going on, we see a sentinel come opening up the doors behind everybody and goes to grab Lorna. They don't explain why, but... They just do. And then...
Dude, no, what's really funny, though, is they don't notice this.
the giant doors opening with a giant mutant in the back. Well, or sentinel in the back.
If you even think about this, though, the sentinels would make noise.
Yeah, they're giant metal beings.
And they're giant metal beings from the 60s.
Yeah.
So you know that shit was like... And as soon as he went to grab... Because like he pulls the doors open like this.
Yeah.
As soon as he grabbed the doors...
Like an elevator. Like yeah. You do with an elevator. Yeah. But as soon as he grabs... The Sentinel grabs Lorna... Havoc is like, no, you said... your leader said everything would be fine. All these guys would be okay. You'd leave them alone. You know, let her go. And he fires off... a blast at the Sentinel, which in turn drops Lorna. Trask comes walking in and is like, so like, you wrecked my Sentinel. You shouldn't have done that. And he fires this gun at Havoc, at the jewel on his headpiece that...
reverses? It repels the cosmic rays that can power him.
Which will, you know, is a bad thing. Because he's saying that if my power goes away, the living monolith will
fully gain his powers.
Get his powers back.
Yeah.
And now we finally get the laughing.
Yeah. Okay, dude. And I'd like to point out that Trask's helmet right there is massive, and it looks a lot like Ant-Man's helmet.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Huh.
You're not wrong. For the massive proportion. Like, it looks like he's shrinking, you know? But... So we go to the next panel where it's got a newscast, basically, that's talking about other nations are calling for the mutants, the Sentinels to handle their mutant mm-hmm. problems.
And so we go to this boardroom where...
Absol's a Pokemon.
Yeah, Professor Abdul is talking to this...
I'm assuming this people. Is like UN? Diplomatic, like, yeah something like that.
And he's telling them that the X-Men are dangerous. And as he's doing this, he starts to feel
his power coming back.
Yeah. And so he's like, you know, screw all you guys. I don't need you anymore. And he starts to grow.
When I make this transformation complete, then none shall be, you know, in my way.
Yeah.
And Sentinels pop through and they're like, even you couldn't stop the monolith. And the Sentinels are like, perhaps not if the change were done. But the liquid adhesives will keep your cosmic rays in. And they're the only source of your power.
Yeah, so he shrinks back down to normal size.
But if you look at this, they literally cover him entirely in that stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, he'd suffocate. He's dead.
Yeah.
He's straight up dead.
So which means that all the power would go back to Havoc.
Mm-hmm. So maybe that suit is holding him off somehow. I don't know. It's
a hell of a suit.
We get another news report talking about the Sentinels pursuing a mutant in the air over...
Streaking seaward.
Yeah, over the sea. And it's got two Sentinels flying after Angel. All the while, this is happening...
This is what I wanted to point out when we got to this. Because we were talking about earlier when he didn't want to take the jet. They catch him in this net as he's trying to fly away. And if you look at it, there's something else in the net with him.
That's his wings.
Oh, no, look. See, I thought that this was his body right here, but that's the other half of his body. Never mind.
Yeah, it's his wings wrapping around him.
Okay. But as they're catching him, Cyclops and Jean are on a plane right beside him.
Yeah,
because he didn't want to wait to take the jet. It's like Home Alone.
Yeah,
but he couldn't he couldn't keep ahead of the Sentinels because he was too tired from flying across the Atlantic. And then the Sentinel says, "You know, I detect more mutants within a narrow radius." And then the other one says, "We are programmed only to capture one."
Yeah.
And then proceed to Station Alpha.
Trask is sending the Sentinels out everywhere to grab
everywhere that he
as
knows
many mutants
where there's
as
mutant.
He can.
Yeah, everywhere where there's a mutant known to be.
Yeah, one of them is...
Mesmero and...
Magneto?
Magneto are in this little... I don't know, some kind of bomb shelter looking thing. And Mesmero... Wait, no.
Yes, Mesmero.
Yeah. Mesmero is like, save me, Magneto, and... He goes and stands behind Magneto, who gets blasted by one of the Sentinels, and it turns out he's just been a robot this whole time.
Yes, I don't know when they were working together.
Yeah, I have
together.
No idea.
Well, it says here issues 49 to 52, so I may have to go back
to it's recent, I mean, to this storyline.
Yeah. But they capture Mesmero, and they just start, you know, capturing. We'll see more in the next issue, but they start capturing more and more mutants. Judge. Chamlin,
the judge,
comes in to Trask, and they're talking, you know, because they're friends, obviously. But he's questioning, Judge is questioning Trask's methods again.
Because at this point in time, all the mutants that he's caught so far are behind him in, like, the standing tubes, like, similar to what you'd see with, like, a cryogenic freezer, except they're not frozen or anything. They're just trapped in there and immobile by the looks of it. But it doesn't really say how or show how. Basically, while he's talking, you know, while the judge is talking about that not being humane, Trask's like, they're monsters, and, you know, you agreed, or I agreed to be your assistant, but that was only because I'm unknown and you're a federal jurist. But if you go soft on me, my sentinels will carry out the fight alone. And then he goes on to tell about, you know, the judge says, you know, hey, your father was a strong-willed man also, but he was a fair one, and he would have wanted to hear both sides before condemning anybody.
Yeah.
And he says, we'll hear all from both sides when all the mutants are safely locked away. He says, I swear by my medallion.
Yeah.
And then he explains the importance of the medallion because he says, you know, it was once his mother's, and, you know, his father gave it to me and told me to swear an oath upon it. And the oath was that he wouldn't remove it so long as he lived. And then, you know, it shows him as, like, a little kid. He's like, I swear.
And then we go over to the next page and we have Banshee. Is that Banshee, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He apparently escaped.
He willingly came with the Sentinel. The Sentinel says, it's the mutant called Banshee. In his native land, he surrendered to me without a fight. And then it says, but now he, and then they blast him with a sonic blast of their own, on a different frequency.
Which knocks him out. And now that just proves to Trask that we just need to take care of the ones now, and then we'll send out more to get the other mutants. So his final, he's going to do the final order of destroying all the mutants on site.
Hear me, my sentinels. Secure all mutants in the area and destroy them.
And then he's going to go after more later. The judge is like, no, you can't do that.
Punches him and steals his medal.
Yep.
Or medallion.
He's trying to prove a point to Larry of what's going on. There's one part we forgot. There was a... Just before Larry saw, or Trask saw, the X-Men, the Sentinel Prime, or leader, had pointed out that there was mutants in the area.
Oh, a minor, they could detect a minor mutant presence.
But they didn't know where it was.
Yeah, but they couldn't pinpoint it.
Yeah. And that's important, because after Judge knocks Trask off on his ass and takes the medallion off...
Which I guess we should point out at this point in time, the judge is like, I'm sorry, I didn't want to hit you, but, you know,
and you have to understand.
He says, it's all right. I was wrong to order the mutants to be killed. And then it goes to the Sentinel, the lead Sentinel number two. And it says, attention, Sentinels, prepare to execute all mutants in the vicinity. And then he says, what? No, stop. Trask says, you know, tells him to stop. And then he says, also prepare the same fate for the X-Men remaining X-Men when they arrive. And then, you know, he's like, didn't you hear me, number two? I am countermanding my orders. And he says, why aren't you listening to me? And then it says, you know, because you are no longer our leader. When the other humanoid removed your medallion, you forfeited that right and your life. And it says, it was you who erred, Larry Trask. You are the mutant presence which we detected. And now we are programmed to destroy you.
Yeah. Which is not good.
Dick move, guys.
Well... Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with the final chapter to this X-Men story arc.